chapter 14, he begins to teach them some things they need to know because he is going away. And that continues into chapter 15, where he tells them that he's the vine and they're just merely the branches, and that includes me and you. And then in chapter number 16, he begins to talk about how the Spirit of God is coming and what he's going to do. And he again tries to get them to understand that he is going to die for the sins of the world, but that he is going to come back. So, you know, there's a lot going on here in these chapters, and he has told them all these things. They don't quite understand it, and I guess I get that. But then in chapter 17, he begins to pray. And as I said, we call this the real Lord's Prayer. I mean, this is really the Lord's Prayer. We talk about sometimes that prayer that you read in Matthew 6, in Luke 11, and we call those the Lord's Prayer, where he says, Our Father. He tells them, he said, when you pray, pray after this manner. But that is a model prayer. This really is the Lord's Prayer. So look with me, if you will, here in verse number 6. Jesus has already told them about the glory of himself that he had before he came to this world and even before the world was, and that his job here was to glorify his Father in what he was about to do. So look in verse number 6 and notice what he said. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for the goodness of God, the mercy, grace, everything you've done for us. Thank you for the good songs we've enjoyed. I pray now just bless the time of looking in the Word of God. May it just say something to us. May it help us. May it encourage us. May it open our eyes. May it open our hearts. May it give us direction and wisdom and understanding. And I pray you get glory and honor out of it tonight. I pray again, burden our hearts about lost folks needing salvation and save them by your grace and mercy. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach this to you tonight about this little section, and we're going to call it Jesus Prays for His Disciples. Jesus prays for his disciples. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks who look at some of these verses, and, you know, in verse number 9 particularly, look at that. I pray for them. He's talking about those men that God's given him. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And, you know, there's a lot of folks say, well, why is Jesus not praying for lost folks? Well, I want you to understand right here. Now, this prayer is focused on Jesus and his own sheep. This is Jesus' sheep that he is concerned with in this prayer. At this time, he's not praying for the world. There are other times when he does pray for lost folks and brings them before God. As a matter of fact, when they get ready to nail him to the cross, what's the first thing that he says? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, there are times Jesus prays for the lost and prays for this world to be saved and to have their eyes open and understand who he is. But right now, the prayer that he's praying right now, and really you can call it the high priestly prayer, because Jesus is praying this for his disciples, and that includes us. Now listen to some of the things as we see what Jesus is doing. I mean, he's praying, and it's a particular time and kind of prayer. So look with me if you will. Let's talk about this first of all. Let's talk about how that in his prayer, he prays regarding the disciples and the Word. The Word of God is important for every one of us as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God. I mean, really, there is nothing else that I can think of that's any more important than for us to know and to have and to eat and digest the Word of God. You need the Bible in you. You need this Word to get in you. You need to study it. You need to learn it. You need to mull over it. I mean, you need to chew it like a cud and then bring it back up and chew on it some more. You and I need to have as much of the Word of God as we can. And Jesus is going to kind of explain this to us while he's saying this about his own disciples. Look there in verses 6, 7, and 8 particularly, and notice what he says. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. I want you to notice that. Then look at verse number 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Well, how did they know that? Because Jesus told them, and they understand through his words, which are the words of God the Father. He said, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from them, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So he's saying the word has an important function in these folks being disciples. I mean, when you look at the word disciples in the Greek, when you're looking at that, the word is M-A-T-H-E-T-E-E-S. Mathetes is what it is. And what it simply means is, you know, to be a student, to be a follower, to be a disciple, to have an ability and a desire to follow someone and the things that they're teaching. And that's what Jesus says. I've given them your word. I've given them. Every person that's a teacher, that is a model, or that is a role model for some people in some things, they are telling them, and they say, well, this is my stance on this issue, whatever it is. I mean, you'll have people in the political world, and they are people that are in the front. They're called leaders, and they have developed a philosophy. They have developed some doctrines. They have developed some ways and tendencies. And when they get up, they say, I want to teach you this because this is what I believe, and that's what's got me here. Thank God, aren't you glad we've got the Bible? That is God's word. It's not anything else, but it's right from the throne of God. Amen? So Jesus is saying, listen to what he says here, verse number 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Look at that little phrase with me, if you will. Manifested thy name. That word manifested, it means, you know, something that has been declared or opened up where people can see. That's where manifest is. It is something, and Jesus is saying, I've declared your name. Now, you say, well, that's what he's supposed to talk about, the name of God. Well, it's a little bit more than that. Whenever you give in those days, whenever you gave and named someone, it wasn't just their identity. It was more than that. Really, when he says, I have declared thy name, that almost sounds, or manifest thy name, sounds a little bit odd, doesn't it? I mean, what does that mean? Their name. Well, it means the identification of them, God, as God the Father. But it also means the character of that person. You're given the character of that person. It means this. Warren Wiersbe says it means to reveal the very nature of God. You are telling somebody else and saying, can I tell you about God the Father? And when you begin to declare that, you're not just saying God and leaving it there. You begin to say, He's good. He's a good God. He's the greatest God. He's the only God. He's an all-powerful God. He's an all-knowing God. He is an all-able God. I mean, anything you want to throw in there as adjectives, that's what you say about your God. You're revealing His very nature. We say God's love. But God's also a God of justice and wrath in some of the words that we read from the Word of God. So all of those things are true. They reveal the character of God. And that's what Jesus said. I've told them who you were. I have manifested thy name unto those men, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I've told them about you. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what it means to me more than anything is that Jesus gave them a word, and first of all, it's a word worth keeping. It's a word worth keeping. Notice what He says. I manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. See that word kept? And I know we've talked about this before, Old Testament, New Testament. That word kept means to guard. It means to put a hedge about. It means to kind of hem it up and keep it in, to maintain, to preserve, to prevent from being escaped. In other words, it is one of those things, man, that you and I say, we're building our futures, we're building and staking our futures on the very Word of God. Do you realize if you're saved tonight, that's what you've done? You've built your future on God's very Word. Why? Because you can't do anything about it. It's out of your hand. And it's all on what you and I say that God has said. And Jesus said, they've kept those. They've guarded these. They have really grabbed hold of these, and they're not turning loose. And that's the way you and I ought to be. Get a hold of the Word of God and don't let go. Don't change. Don't back up. Don't say, well, I think something different. No, sir. Stay with it as it truly is. Stay with it. Amen. I mean, it's a word. The Word of God is certainly a word worth keeping. He says, look, they have kept thy word. I want to tell you right here, at this time, Jesus says, they've kept your word. Now, can I tell you this? I don't think these are the most stable men in the country right now. I don't think they're the most learned men in the nation of Israel. I don't think that they're, you know, just what everybody's looking to and say, boy, look at that group. They're great, you know. I don't think everybody's doing it. But can I tell you? God's got some confidence in them because they've learned how to keep His word. What I'm saying is this, word is worth the keeping whether you fully understand it or not. When you read your Bible and somebody will say, do you really believe that Christ died for your sins? You know what you ought to say? Absolutely. Well, how do you know that? Because my Bible says so. Well, how do you know you can trust that? Because it's the Word of God, and I'm trusting Him. Amen? I'm just going to trust Him. Well, can you prove it? There's no way I can prove it. I can't take you to the place. I can't show you nothing. I don't have. But you know what? I'm going to keep His Word and just believe it. Amen? You remember what Jesus says on occasion after occasion? He talks about if you love me, you'll keep my word. That means you'll have an obedience to that word. Well, preacher, I don't understand. I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't understand it all either. But I'm just going to take God at His word and believe and trust. It's a word worth keeping. It's a word worth keeping, okay? So second of all, not only is it a word worth keeping, I'm going to tell you, it's a word worth receiving. Aren't you glad you received the Word of God? Look what he says there in verse number 7. He said, "For they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." He said, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." Amen? You know how you got saved? You received the Word of God. Paul said you received it as it is in truth. You and I have received it. Well, you know, you ask somebody that's saved and say, "Well, how did you get saved?" "Well, I got saved because of what the Bible said. I believe what Jesus did." Well, again, how do you know that? I'm just telling you, I received that as the truth that it is. "Well, can you prove it to me?" All I've got's a Bible, and brother, I'm a sticking with it. Amen? That's my proof. I believe and I trust the Word of God. Amen? Oh, listen, we sang that song here the other day on "Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." In part of that song, it says, "I dare not trust the sweetest frame." In other words, I dare not trust any man on this earth, but wholly cling to Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that's it. It is something that you and I find worthy of receiving. Receive the Word of God. I mean, just pull her in and say, "I believe it." Somebody said, "Well, you explain that." I cannot explain all of it. I cannot detail it. I cannot help you many times on some things because you just got to take it by faith. And that's receiving the Word of God. You got to receive it. What's thrown out there? Take it. Amen. Isn't it amazing how anybody wants to tell some little old gossip thing, we'll receive that, won't we? "Oh, well, you know what so-and-so said? They said the moon's made out of cheese." Well, I believe them. Hey, there's a crowd that says the earth is flat. Huh? The earth is flat. Well, they must be right. They're some pretty smart people that says the earth is flat. There's a bunch that says that moon's made out of cheese. There's a bunch of people that says, you know, all kinds of things. And there's people that say, "Well, I'll take that and run with it." Well, you're a knucklehead, amen, on a lot of that stuff. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the Word of God, Jesus says, "Hey, the words that you gave me, I gave to them, and they have received them." Amen? They've received them. You need to receive the Word of God. You need to be opened up enough to receive it. You know, that's where a lot of people's problem is. They won't receive it as what it is, as the truth. Receive the Word of God. But not only that, on top of that, it's a word worth keeping and receiving, but it's a word worth believing. Look at the end of verse number 8. He said that they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Amen? I mean, I believe it. I believe that word, don't you? I believe. Hey, John wrote this thing. Man, aren't you glad John wrote this gospel? But when you go back to chapter number 1 in the gospel of John chapter number 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now, how'd he get that? It's a word that he received, and then he believed it. Amen? And then you know what he said? I'm just going to keep that. You ain't going to change my mind. You're not going to make me back up. Boy, I'm glad my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1, it said that faith is. And you can read about that, you know, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And go down through there and read all that. Hey, you just got to take it by faith, friend. You got to believe it. Amen? Now, every one of you in here, you go outside this building, you crawl in your car, and you know what you do? You believe your car is going to get you home. Anybody in here doubt that? Any one of you? I'll get my car. I'll put that key in the ignition, or I'll push that button, and she'll just fire right up. You got more faith in that transaction than you do about believing the Word of God. You're in trouble. Amen. If you got I mean, look, we do that. Well, I'll get up in the morning. You got faith that you're going to wake up in the morning. You don't know that. Amen? We got faith in a lot of things. Amen? Oh, I know, boy, my job will be there when I go tomorrow. You don't know that. You don't know that you're going to make it till tomorrow. But, well, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You don't know what you're going to do. Amen? But I'm saying you've got faith in that. But the Lord says, hey, have faith in this and believe. As a matter of fact, that is that word, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, which means to have faith. They have faith. They have faith that thou didst send me. They believe it. You know what? I believe it too. I believe God the Father sent God the Son, and thank God the Holy Ghost came in after that. Amen? I mean, that's what he said. Believe this thing. So, I'm just telling you, when he's talking to his disciples and he's praying for them, he prays regarding them and the Word of God. All right, let's look at the second thing. He prays, and he prays about them, his disciples, regarding the disciples and this work that they're going to do. There is a work that God wants us to do. I mean, God wants us to do some things. What is that work? Well, as you get into this work, it's going to be work for God, but it's going to be you and Him together, right? So first of all, he says, I want them to realize, and I want to pray for them that as they are joining or being joined in this work. You're joining in the work of God. Now, I'm not saying that God has to use you, but aren't you glad God wants to use you? He wants to use you and me. It's amazing that God uses human frailty in this world, but He does. You remember the story, I guess one of the best examples of this kind of thing is this. You remember that the Lord sends Peter a message over in the book of Acts. The Lord sends Peter a message, and Peter's up on the housetop praying, and this sheet comes down, and he sees this vision three times about rise, kill, and eat, and nothing unclean's ever come to my mouth, you know, all that. And so here he is, he has that dream, and then all of a sudden, there's some men down there calling for him. And he follows these men to Cornelius' house. And we've heard about Cornelius before that Cornelius was a man that believed in God, but he didn't have the truth of Christ. He didn't have that gospel, but he had a belief, and he really wanted to serve God. So God sent that vision to Peter and then sent those men down there. And then those men brought Peter up there to Cornelius, and Peter preaches Cornelius, and Cornelius gets saved. You know, all that. And I'm like, why'd God do that? He could have just sent an angel over there and preached to Cornelius. Cornelius could have heard the same thing and been saved when an angel went. But you know what? God says that's not how we work. I joy in working through men. I don't understand that sometimes, but aren't you glad your Bible tells you that it's through the foolishness of people of preaching that God saves people? The foolishness of preaching. God calls preachers. Preachers get up and preach, and people get saved. That is the formula. That is the way. That is the thing that God's got to say. And that's how He's going to do it. As I say, he could send an angel and preach to every one of us and come over to your house and do whatever he wanted. But this is God's system for saving men. He wants me and you to be joined in on this work. Look what he says in verse number 11 here. He says, now I am no more in the world. And Jesus is getting ready to leave. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He said, I think we need to be joined together. We need to be joined as in oneness. Look over in verse number 18, the last verse we read. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We're joined into this work, But thank God, you better be sure, first of all, you're joined in with Him. Be one with Him. Do you know the Lord glories in our unity? Let me tell y'all something about unity. Unity does not mean that we're all the same. As a matter of fact, it fascinates me that God can join us together as a group as diverse as we are. Right? I mean, all of us are not of the same education level. All of us are not of the same age group. All of us are not of the same, maybe, social status. I mean, we're all varied, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God can get us together, and He can use us. Amen. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it doesn't say, well, God said, now, let's get all the smart people. No. Well, let's get all in with PhDs and THDs. No, God doesn't do that. He uses whosoever will. The Bible said those learned people of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they saw Peter and they saw John standing there before them, and it said, and when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen, they marveled that, and they knew that they'd been with Jesus. Amen? What do you say? I'm saying it don't take a particular mindset to be used of God. God can use anybody. Amen? We had an old guy, and I told y'all a lot probably about him, but Brother Dwayne Haley, T.D. Haley, he was a missionary. And he was out in Oklahoma. He said there was this guy that came to his church out there in Oklahoma. Now, he was around an Indian reservation and mainly worked with the Indians, but this guy was deaf. Deaf, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything. He said, this guy kept coming to church. And finally, they got a person that could do sign language and help him to understand what was going on in church. He said, first of all, he just came to church and he had no clue what was going on. He tried to read lips, tried to do that as well as he could and all. But he said, finally, he kept preaching. This old boy got saved. He said he'd come up to him. And I think his name was Ronnie. He said, Ronnie, what do you want? And he said he began to, whatever. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about, but what you're saying. Okay. So they finally got the interpreter in there, and the interpreter said, he wants to go out and witness to lost folks. And he said, Ronnie, that's okay. That's a good heart. And I believe we ought to, because that's what he'd been preaching on, that kind of thing. And he said, but, I just don't know how you're going to do that. And that old boy, he said, he looked at him. He got his head straight up. And he was like, sign it. You let me take care of that. He said, the next day, I'm driving down the road. He said, Ronnie's got him a poster with a cross on it. And Ronnie is standing out there pointing at his heart, pointing at the sign, and pointing up to the sky. Telling folks they need Jesus got in his heart from that cross, and they need him too. Amen. Well, you say, I'm saying anybody, if you're willing and you want to, you can be a witness for the Lord. Amen. Let me just tell you, it don't take a PhD or a THD or a ESPN or anything else. Amen. I mean, just got some want to get in there and do something for the Lord. Amen. So he says, look, we ought to be joined. I mean, we've got to be joined together. In verse number 11, he said, I'm leaving this world in so many words, but they're going to be here. And he said, Father, keep them through your own name. Give those to whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. Their needs, you've got to get joined up with the Lord. You've got to get sold out to be like Him and want to be joined up with Him. And then He's going to use you and let you go out into this crazy world and tell people about Him. Amen? That's what I'm trying to tell you. So we need to be joined in the work. Now, it's not you, and it's not your work, but it is the Lord's work, being joined in the Lord's work. So, y'all know who Charlie Brown is, right? All right, there's a little scene in one of the Charlie Brown shows where Linus. Y'all know Linus is kind of the, I don't know, he's kind of my hero. I love Linus, you know. He's at home after school one day watching TV, sitting there watching his favorite program, and his sister Lucy comes in. Lucy, she calls trouble all the time. She calls Charlie Brown trouble. She goes into Linus and she looks at him and says, "Change the channel. I want to watch my favorite show." No, Linus jumps up with his little blanket and he looks at her and he says, "Why do I have to change the channel for you?" She said, "I've got 5 good reasons." She said, "Independent of each other, they don't look like much. But when they get to coming together, you better change that channel." So you know what Linus does? He gets up. He's walking over to the TV. And he looks down at his hands. He says, "Why can't you boys get together like that?" Amen? I mean, hey, if we get together and join up with the Lord, He can do with us when we join in with Him, right? When we join in with Him. So he says we ought to be joined in the work. Second of all, we ought to be joyful in this work. We ought to be joyful in the work. Look down there in verse number 13. He said, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." He says, while they're working, I want them to have my joy in the work. Now, do you see that? Jesus said, "My joy." He didn't say your joy. He didn't say for me, Steve's joy. But he said, "My, Jesus." We're to have the joy of Jesus. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need the joy. When you've got and you enjoy what God's doing and you enjoy His work, you enjoy His word, you enjoy everything, His worship, everything that you do, man, when you've got His joy, it's just a lot easier and it works out a whole lot better. Amen? We need to have that. I mean, listen, it will give you strength. And you know what Paul said? We read that here not too long ago in Philippians 4. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." When you just are just full of the joy of the Lord, you can do what you need to do. When you've got that joy. I mean, it's a joy and a blessing just to get to come to church and rejoice and worship Him, isn't it? So, you want to be joyful in this work. I mean, look, it is a full joy. You notice what he said? He said that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Fully filled up with the joy of the Lord. That's what you ought to have, is a full joy. So joyful in the work. And then I want you to notice this about the journey of this work. As you begin to see in the journey of this work, I mean, you're still in this world. But thank God you're not part of this world. Amen? I mean, that's what Jesus is saying throughout this whole thing. Look in verse 16. "They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world." I mean, we're here. We're in it. But we're sure not of it. Jesus says, "I'm going away. I'm getting ready to leave." And he says, look, I'm getting ready to get out of here in verse number 11. "And now I'm no more in the world." Jesus said, "I'm leaving. But these are in the world." You're going to be in it, but you don't have to be of it. Amen? I mean, we're sent into this world. I mean, you look at it, all that Jesus did. I mean, he got criticized, ridiculed, talked about, mocked. Because what? Well, he's eating with sinners. He's down here at a publican's house. He's down there with the, you know, the rotten, stinking, dirty sinner crowd. Brother, how else is he going to win them? He went to them, but I can tell you, when he left, they weren't the same. Amen? Zacchaeus come down out of that tree. And boy, when he came down, so he came down, he made haste, and he received Jesus with joy. He took him home and he said, "Lord, if I've wronged anybody, I'll give them all their money back. And I'm going to take half of what I got, give it to the poor." And thank God, I mean, he's excited. He didn't go home the way that he came from his home. He was changed. But that crowd, well, if he knew who that was, right? Isn't that the way it is? People will look at you and say, you know, so-and-so go to your church. Well, you know what they do, what they used to do and all that. Well, what you used to do will get you in trouble a lot of times, won't it? Hey, all of us have a past. Thank God Jesus came along. Guess what? Now I got a future. Amen? And it's a different future than what it used to be. So this journey, and we'll kind of look at that maybe just here in the end here, maybe a little bit deeper in that. Let's talk about regarding the praying that he does, regarding the disciples and the world. I mean, this is kind of where this thing lines up. And he says, you know, we're not of this world, but we're in it. I mean, we've got to be here. We're here. But I want you to notice what he says about us and those disciples there, if you will. He says in verse number 6, "For I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me," listen, "out of the world." First of all, realize that we are divinely separated from this world. When Jesus saves you, he saves you out of the world. One of the best pictures of this is how that God told Moses to go down to Egypt and get his people out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. Egypt's always a type of the world. And God said, "I want my people out of the world." And Moses, you know, said, "Well, how's that going to happen?" God said, I'll take care of you. You just go. You just tell." So he goes down, tells Pharaoh, you know the story, how that he eventually gets them out of Egypt. Brother, I'm telling you, God wants you out of Egypt. You know what happens, though, many times? Oh, you can take somebody and drag them out of Egypt, but you just can't get Egypt out of them. Amen? I'm telling you, when you get saved, when you and I get saved, we are divinely separated from this world. I mean, the Lord tells us, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." He said, "Be ye holy, even as I'm holy." We're different than the world. Now, don't get snooty. Don't get your nose up there. Don't get to be high-hatting, folks. But, brother, you're called to be different, separated from the world. You're not like the world. Again, I said you got to be in it. But I'm telling you, you're not like it. You're separated from this world. Oh, listen, folks, well, why don't you do what everybody else does? I can't do what everybody else does. Because I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to Him. And thank God, it makes a difference in my life. And it ought to make a difference in every one of our lives. Amen? So we're divinely separated from this world. Second of all, we're divinely sent into this world. You realize you have been divinely sent into this world. Look there in verse number 18 again. We read it. Verse number 18, Jesus says this, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." You are divinely sent into this world. Jesus said, starting at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part, go out there and preach the word. Tell the gospel. Tell somebody about Jesus. I'm sending you. God the Father sent me, and I'm sending you. And go ye therefore and preach this gospel to the whole world. We are divinely sent. You've got a message. You've got something bigger. You've got something better. You've got something that's the best. And thank God, tell it to somebody out there tomorrow. Amen? I'm just telling you, God has put me and you into this thing. He has separated us out of the world, but then He turns around and sends us as He puts us back into this world. But not only that, let's say this last of all, we are divinely suited to work in this world. God situates us so that we can be suited for this. Listen to what He said. Verse number 18 again, He said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." We're sent, but look in verse number 17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Amen? You're sanctified. You're separated. He's suiting you up to work in this world. How do I get suited? Well, you know what Paul said? Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God." If you put on the whole armor of God, you're suited up pretty good. But look back here in verse number 15. Jesus said, "He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world." Jesus said, "Don't take them out, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. There is evil in this world. And Jesus says, I'm praying that you'll safeguard them from the evil thing. Aren't you glad that? Jesus prayed that and said, safeguard them, Father, from the evil that's in this world. You don't have a clue how many times that you've run up into something or somebody and it could have got ugly. I mean, out on the highway, in a face-to-face confrontation. I mean, you just don't know. Well, we were watching the news the other night, and there was some guy has, I don't know the whole story, but he goes into a convenience store, comes out of that convenience store, gets into his car, and apparently there's some kids over here in the next car to him. They're looking at him, and they're laughing about something, whatever they're doing. And he gets into his car, and he reaches over and grabs a pistol, turns around and points it at them. That's scary, isn't it? Now, he doesn't pull the trigger. He doesn't do anything. He pulls it back in, puts it back, and leaves. But, hey, I bet you there's some hearts fluttering. I bet you there's some, whoa, what just happens, and, you know, all of that kind of thing. You don't know what you're going to run into. You have no idea. You have no idea when that car in front of you, as you go out this road, that it might stop or have something happen in front of you, or there's an accident, and all of a sudden, you've got to lock it down or slow down or you smash or run into whatever. I mean, you got no idea. You have no idea what could happen. And, brother, I'm telling you, you want to pray and ask God, protect, and Jesus says, keep them from the evil. There's all kinds of evil in this world. Keep them from that. We're divinely suited. We're loved by Him, by Jesus Himself. And we're loved by His Father. And we are sanctified by Him. But look what He says in verse number 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen? Jesus is going to tell them a little bit later. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Hallelujah for that. Amen. I'm telling you, we're gonna get into this thing and we're going to be part of it. But we're divinely suited to do the work in this old world. It's a rotten place. It's an ugly place. But you know what? As I told you many times, He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way into the end. Thank God for that tonight. I'm glad Jesus gave us this promise, aren't you? Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this evening, if you will, please. And listen, Jesus has prayed. Isn't it amazing to think?